Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Well, Christ is risen. I hope you're celebrating in this octave of Easter. It's such a wonderful thought to consider that throughout the entire world, the Christian people and the Catholic Church in particular, we're celebrating these 8 days. This is 8 days of solemnity. Solemnity is the highest form of liturgical celebration in the life of the church. And we have solemnities sprinkled out throughout the year, but this is 8 days of it. And Jesus rose on the eighth day. It's the day of the resurrection. It's Sunday. And we're going to go all the way to Mercy Sunday with the octave. And we're being drawn in by the leadership of the church, by the wisdom of the church, our mother, to go deep, to stay in the conversation of what we just celebrated on through the Triduum, and particularly Good Friday and Easter Sunday, that it stays in our conversation, it stays in our mind and heart in a particular way. And from the earth, the people of God, led by clergy and our worship and the liturgies, declaring with great joy, proclaiming with all our hearts, confessing with our lips the wonder of what God has accomplished for us in Jesus. We declare it, we celebrate it, we rejoice in it. So we got to be careful not to just let things roll back right away into same old, same old. Let's stay in the season. Let's stay in the octave together. And for the glory of God, really, proclaiming to Him, thanking Him, praising Him throughout the day in many ways, just quietly speaking to Him, making sure getting the Mass during the octave is a really good thing to do as the church celebrates in that entirely unique way of our yes to Jesus and our joy and praise for what God has accomplished. It's so important for us, friends, to be in the habit and really to the point where we actually have a renewed mind. We are able to see, grasp, and value the things that are most valuable, and that we live from the joy each day of knowing, no matter what the circumstance, we live from the joy of knowing what has been accomplished in Jesus through His passion, death, and resurrection, ultimately His ascension into glory and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think we have to be careful not to let the circumstances and the busyness of life steal this from us. Let's celebrate it again. Let's celebrate it. Let's declare it. Let's dive into it. And that's what I hope to do again today. So if you had a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I was kind of reflecting on Luke chapter 24, Luke's account of Jesus' appearance to the disciples and what Jesus said to them. And just in summary, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, he came in His glorified body. He shocked disciples because of glorified body, but He's not in the fullness of glory at this point, but He does have a body and He's eating with them and they see His wounds. They know it's Him and they're filled with wonder. And this transformation of mind and heart is coming. And then Jesus, what does He do? He wants to make sure He opens the Word of God to them so they understand all the way from Abraham, Moses, the prophets, everybody. What is it intending to lead us to? It's intending to lead the people of God to this moment, to the reality of what Jesus has accomplished. So in verse 45, as I read yesterday, it says, "Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures." The Bible is like unlike any other document. It's animated, written by God, by the Holy Spirit, and by men. And it's the Holy Spirit who makes that Word a living Word for us. And it's a Word that transforms and penetrates and renews and dispels darkness and brings us into light. And so here's what Jesus, at this climactic moment, at this amazing moment, wants to say to them. He's interpreting the meaning of the Scripture in relationship to the destiny of the Messiah that not everybody understood. "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." That's what people missed, many of them, that the Messiah's destiny would be to suffer, not simply to conquer. "And that," verse 47, "that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name to all nations." Here's the summary of the Great Commission. Here's what the church exists to do. Here's what everyone baptized into Jesus, animated by the Spirit, is being moved and empowered, encouraged and built up to do this very thing. To do what? To bring repentance in our own lives and to bring repentance to others. And the forgiveness of sins. Every human being on the planet needs their sins forgiven. To come to Jesus, to be able to receive the forgiveness that comes only through God's love, God's mercy given to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins should be preached how? In His name. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved. It's that name. It's not just an idea, a set of ideas. We're not just going to communicate a set of spiritual or religious ideas. We're going forth as a church to communicate our lived experience, our faith knowledge, our living hope, and our great love for the man Jesus Christ, for the God-man Jesus Christ. We know Him as Savior. We know Him as the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and makes us a new creation. And we know that He's the Lord, that all power in heaven and earth belongs to Him, and the destiny of every human being is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And there's only one of two destinies that we're each going to go to. Just wind back a few weeks ago, the gospel readings from John chapter 5, where the religious leaders are angry at Jesus because He violated the Sabbath by healing a man on the Sabbath. And then Jesus said, as the Father has life, so the Son of God, Jesus, has life in Him. As the Father has authority over life and death, so does the Son. And the day is coming, He said, when it's His voice, will speak to all who are dead in the tombs. Everybody's going to die. And only Jesus can speak to dead people when they hear Him, and by His command, they come to life. Lazarus was a foreshadowing of that fact. But it's in your future, it's in my future, it's in everyone's future on that day. And He said, those who had done good, that is those who walked with faith expressing itself in love, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and bearing fruit and abiding in Him, they will rise by His command, by His voice, that man's voice only, to eternal life. Those who died apart from belief and faith and didn't say yes to Jesus, they will also rise, but they'll rise to eternal condemnation. So Jesus is saying, this is the destiny of every human being. Now go, church, go. Go and bring My mercy. Go and bring My salvation. Go and prepare others to come to Me, to the waters of baptism, to become a new creation so they can rise and live with Me and with the Father from all eternity so that they can share in the life of the kingdom. And so that's exactly what we're starting to get in the readings. You know, the last couple of days, the first reading at Mass in this octave of Easter goes right to Pentecost. And Jesus says here in Luke 24, not only that they are now meant to go and preach repentance, the forgiveness of sins to all nations, but He said to the apostles, you are witnesses to all these things. So they were the ones, as Peter said, chosen witnesses to these saving truths, historical facts of what Jesus has accomplished. He said, beginning from Jerusalem, now you'll go forward to witness. And He said, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. And we know that's exactly what they did on the day of Pentecost. They were absolutely immersed in the anointing and power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that more in depth as we get toward Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit was poured out, tongues of fire upon the apostles. St. John Paul II used to say, in that upper room, the Holy Spirit came and stirred the deepest energies of the apostles, animated them, gave them tremendous grace for faith, hope, and love, tremendous zeal, confidence, and power came upon them, real power. The word is dunamis, dynamite. An explosive power was given to them that took them beyond their insecurities and their fears, the fear of death, the fear of what they're going to have to face going forward, the resistance of the religious leaders, just like Jesus experienced, that they at one point were afraid of. And they came out from the upper room, and Peter declared what's going on the day of Pentecost. He said, this is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God's Spirit will be poured on all flesh. So Peter's declaring, we are in the last days, which is the last phase of human history. John called it the last hour. Peter begins to proclaim Jesus' saving work, why he came, the message he spoke, how the Father bore witness to him through signs and wonders, and that they resisted it. They refused to believe. Ultimately, they killed him. Peter said it right to their face, you killed him, but God raised him. Death could not hold him down. So here's there, Peter's declaring the reality. What's the deep, deep reality in the person of Jesus? The powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil could not hold him down. The ultimate realities that are on the earth, that are binding human beings. Death could not hold Jesus down because there's a life in him that's indestructible. It's the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. This is the only means of salvation. This is what salvation is, coming to share in that indestructible life that's in him. And so even today, the first reading is kind of the culmination of Peter's preaching, where he's talking about Jesus' victory, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And here's sort of the key part of it in verse 36. He said, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the Jewish people, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus told Peter and the apostles, they're to go preach to all nations and preach to all nations what God has done and to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins. And this is exactly what Peter's doing. And it's done by declaring the truth about who Jesus is. He's Lord. All power and authority belongs to him. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's enthroned. All power in heaven belongs to him. He's Christ. He's anointed. He's the one that is filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of him comes through the one who is enfleshed in glory, the Son of God, who's united himself to human flesh, and he's the new Adam. It's from him that the Spirit flows for the new life. This is the one you crucified. And then people, by the Spirit of God, the power of that word, are cut to the heart. And they said, what should we do? What do we do? And Peter said, very simply, and this is what we're called to help the church, led by our bishops and others, to the whole world, to bring people to this point. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those who are far off. The far off is the Gentile world. Whomever the Lord our God will call. And then he says this amazing line. He says, he testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them. He said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized. About 3,000 persons were added that day. So the gospel goes forward through the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the apostles, and of the church. The church is born of preaching. That's where it comes from. Faith is born of preaching. People come to this place of hearing what Jesus has done, who he is, and the call to repentance. And the church is the place where people can repent and then be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Friends, let's continue this conversation tomorrow. What a wonderful season. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.